I did see it, but you sound, you came across as being concerned. That's what I got.
I wasn't concerned. I was
being come on, don't do this. I'm trying to give you an out.
I know, but I'm not going to lie to the people, Deb. I was being a donkey. I was being very funny, which I am.
I know, it was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Eight 13 on this Monday morning. So glad to be back. Have the whole crew here. Debbie's in the house. Adam Roberts on the news. Greg Pancake Hill produces the program. Eric and I back together. You had a couple days and I had a couple days.
Yeah, it's good to see you again.
So I got a story and I teased it before. I'm not going to do it this segment, but I will just remind you I have this story about something that I thought of you instantly when it blew up.
Okay, great. I don't know if that's good or bad, but
well,
all right.
Because you would totally appreciate what happened. Because we talk all the time on the show about, you know, boy, the internet is a sewer and social
it's
media.
Awful.
Can we
social
clean it up? And why are people mean?
Yep,
and Well, I did something stupid on the internet again.
So you were part of the problem.
Yes, I was part of the problem again this last week.
All right.
So I will share that story with you coming up. But we want to start with this. So this morning, House Republicans and more Democrats are publicly calling on President Biden to step aside and allow the Democrats to put up a different nominee for president at their convention in Chicago, or even, depending on how you read the rules, perhaps before. So we have some details from ABC News national correspondent Stephen Portnoy on just how that process will play out. But let's start here in Wisconsin.
If you stay in and Trump is elected and everything you're warning about comes to pass, how will you feel in January?
I feel as long as I gave it my all and I did the goodest job as I know I can do. That's what this is about.
That's the president speaking there with ABC's George Stephanopoulos in Madison. They recorded the interview in Madison following the president's campaign rally, which was Friday. So that's significant one in that you're hearing the White House say, we understand that there's a call for rolling the president out for more of these interviews where he faces questions, not teleprompter stuff, where he gets questions. And he's, even if it's just a recorded interview, he's in a live-like setting.
Right, right.
Perhaps some press gaggles in the future. And so that's at least one answer to that call. On the issue of the Democrats calling for his removal, there was apparently a private call among senior Democrats in the House, including House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, as they ramp up pressure on the president to step aside. This was a private call, but why you're hearing about it is because somebody leaked it.
Right.
So it's enough of them. This is a group. Now, some have publicly, it's not a lot, but some have publicly called for President Biden to step aside and let there be another nominee for the Democrats. But these are folks who are meeting privately, but they're at least as committed to it as to leak that information so it gets out into the news cycle without them necessarily having to put their name to it. Time's going to come here pretty quick. And you mentioned the Republican National Convention would be a great time to do it next week to try to steal some headlines away from the Republicans for some of these folks to put their name behind what they're saying privately and make it public. Like either say, here's what I believe and put your name on it. He needs to step aside or not, but stop with these leaks and this undermining.
But there is a growing list of those who are coming public with it. You know, one of the questions, though, is, OK, well, then who you got? What are you doing? I mean, I would assume. You would assume that it's the vice president then who would probably get most of the attention, but you would guess that there'd be other people who would also want to be considered if they were actually going to pick a different person to be the nominee.
Right. And what kind of time do you have? And how does that process all play out? It's not as simple as it might seem because states have voted. Like we had primary elections.
Right, right.
States have voted. This is who we want as our nominee. And you have all of these delegates that meet at the convention, which is usually historically like what last 50 some years or more, a foregone conclusion. You used to have brokered conventions all the time.
Right. But now so it's not unprecedented.
It's not unprecedented. Right. But there are rules as to which delegates are pledged, which delegates have to vote in accordance with what was decided in the state.
They have super delegates and
all that. Right. Some are super delegates. And Eric and I don't profess to know all the rules of that. But what we're saying is it's more complicated than just, well, they can't just force him out. The easiest way is to get him to actually step down. I'm trying to find from Portnoy, Eric, and I don't have it, but he gave us a little bit of an insight into that process.
Well, what's so interesting about this is that basically, so the DNC isn't for another month. It's not until August. And the reason that is basically because of the Olympics, right? So you can have the RNC and then you'll have the DNC a month later. What ABC's Stephen Portnoy told us is really that they're going to have to get some work done before that convention.
The practical deadline really is whenever the Democrats have their virtual roll call in advance of Ohio's August 7th ballot deadline. Now, you know, I'm going to head to your fine city later this week for the Republican convention. And about a month from then is when the Democrats will have their convention in Chicago. But what they've decided to do is not have the roll call of the states in Chicago, because that would be after the August 7th deadline in Ohio. So they thought that they would just tie it all up with a bow and do it on the internet. Fine, except for the current crisis that the Democratic Party is in. Now, soon, within the next couple of weeks, the Democrat Party Credentials Committee will be sending out essentially, I don't know if they're ballots or some sort of certification letter to all of the delegates for the Democratic Convention, thousands of them, who've been chosen in the process that was a part of the primaries and all that since the start of the year. And those individual people, those delegates, are going to fill out the form and decide whether they are in fact pledged to Joe Biden or whether they'll withhold their support for Biden. And that will be a key test of whether there is truly an existential crisis for the top of the ticket or not. Now, at the moment, there's no reason to think that most of those delegates will say that they're going to withhold their support for Joe Biden. These are party loyalists and Biden loyalists. And so far, I would expect that they will dig in as deeply as the president and his senior advisors have. But we'll see what changes, if anything does, over the next couple of weeks. We heard from the president himself on Friday night that only if the Lord Almighty comes down from on high and says, Joe, get out of the race, will he do so.
So I think the bigger crisis would be not that they said, okay, we're not going to put our support behind him or not going to pledge it just yet, but it's doing that without having another person. If you have no other candidate and then you all pledge you don't support him, then what? Then it's going to be open season again? You almost have to anoint somebody, right? I don't know if that automatically
has to be a plan, you mean, before he steps aside. It's going to be Vice President Harris, or it's going to be,
wouldn't you think,
some of these other governors that...
You could steal some of the oxygen if you did that next week. If you did that during the RNC, because that's what everybody would be talking about.
Right. When does the former president speak? Thursday night, right? So you do it either Wednesday night or Thursday night, right before that, and steal headlines away from the Republican National Convention here in Milwaukee, after which traditionally any candidate gets a bump in the polls, like people start feeling better about that candidate. So they hope to carry that positive momentum. That's a brilliant strategy move if the president is willing to do that.
And there's nothing to suggest that he is.
And then who would that person be, right? You have Vice President Harris.
I hear her
name more and more often, and there is some polling to suggest that she would not only do better than President Biden head-to-head with former President Trump, but also might have a chance to win. I think here's the other question that I mentioned it the other week. We're not talking about it because right now it's about the horse race. Is he going to stay in the race? Is he going to stay in the race? Can he win? Can he win? Can he win? Can he govern? Never mind, can he win in 3 months, 4 months from now? Can he govern 1 year from now? Can he govern 2 years from now? What does that look like? And do the Democrats want to do that with these constant... Look, don't we have the NATO summit coming here?
Yeah, tomorrow.
With all these NATO nations coming to the U.S. here to talk about serious global affairs. You know, every single one of those NATO leaders is reading the same stuff we're all reading. They're hearing the same stuff they're hearing. You know, they're talking in back corners about whether or not this president is really in charge of the country, all of those things. Like, can you govern as Democrats with him as your president? I think that's what's being talked about mostly behind closed doors, but more openly publicly now. Expect some movement on that through the week. 8:22 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Should I tell my story now about how I grew up on myself on the internet?
Yes.
So, I know why I thought of you guys right away. I think it's because we talk about it. And I do sincerely believe, like, can't we clean it up on Twitter? Can't we clean up the snark on Facebook? Like, you don't have to comment on everything. right? If you read something that hasn't, typically I read something that I react negatively to, like I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. My first reaction is not to, I better put that out there and blow somebody up. This is ridiculous, right? But yeah, we're sort of programmed to do that. Well, I stepped in it this weekend. That was before the weekend. I said something where I typically get into trouble is trying to be funny. I don't like to bring people down. That's not my
nature.
Making
a joke online. Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I've tried to be funny and I said something stupid. So what had happened was I'm watching the Brewers in the Colorado series, and I can't remember which night it was. It was one of the, it was the one game we won, I think, in the series.
Okay.
We won only one against them.
Ugh. Three and four for the road trip.
So watch, right. So watching the game, and I'm looking behind, it's impossible to miss. Is right behind the batter in literally the best seats in the house. Front row behind home plate. There's this guy, and all you see is the top of his head for like a whole inning. Okay, and I'm like, what is this man sleeping?
He's slumped over?
Yeah, he's kind of slumped okay. over, you know, clearly not paying attention to the game. I even said to my wife, I'm like, what's that guy's story? Like, she's like, yeah, I haven't seen him for like an inning and a half. Yeah. So two innings, haven't seen the guy, right? Hilarious. Ah, here's a guy sitting in the best seats of the house. He's not even paying attention.
He's looking at his phone or is he out?
That's what I wonder. Are you sleeping? Are you looking at your phone? Like, what's more important than watching this game right here in front of you? It's a great game.
That you clearly went to.
Yes. I was like offended as a baseball fan. Yes. I would like to sit there. So I take the old Twitter machine and I lit up Levering too. I'm like, who's at the yard tonight? Levering, you there? Vinny Rotino was there. I'm like, Vinny, like, can I get a welfare check on this guy behind the plate whose face I haven't seen for three innings or something like that? So it wasn't nasty, but it was snarky, right?
Okay, and there's a picture. You posted a picture,
a picture of the
TV
top
screen.
Of this guy's head.
Okay, so you put that, his picture on social media. Okay,
very funny, right? Vinny, he's sure funny. Funny guy. And somebody else piled on then. A couple other people commented. There was a woman sitting next to him to his right. So two best seats in the house. And she appears not to be paying attention either. Looks like she's got one of those old-timey radios. She's kind of holding it up
no
to her
transistor.
Ear.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Listening to the call, maybe.
Appears to be listening to the game, which I respect. That's great. But she's not watching. She's not watching the game. Just kind of drifting off, looking away, looking here, looking there. Neither of these two are talking to each other. Like, what is the story? So other people are now commenting. Oh, this is great. This is a great thread. Way to go. I'm stirring it up on the internet. Hilarious. Har, har, har.
I think I know where this is going.
Do you? Can you see where it's going?
Yes. Absolutely. I know what happened.
They're blind.
Yeah. They are blind.
They are blind baseball fans. He and she, I didn't get through the whole article. A couple of people shared an article by the Denver Post. They wrote them up. I don't think they're new to the ballpark. They're known among Rockies fans. They like to go to the ball games. And if you've ever sat close, you can appreciate, in addition to being able to see the game close, you can hear the game like no other place, right?
The pop of the mitt.
Right? Crack of the bat sounds different when you're that close. The umpire's calls, like, especially if you're someone who's vision impaired, your other senses are enhanced. So, of course, you'd want to be at the yard. Good for them.
I've seen them at Miller Park or at AmFam. This is a couple of weeks ago.
Vision impaired people at the game?
Mm-hmm.
So, what a jackass, right?
Yeah, man.
What a donkey. It just illustrated to me again. I didn't have ill intent, but you don't know what you don't know. And why would just leave them alone? And guess what? What if they weren't paying attention?
Well, that's what I was just about to say. What if they were sleeping?
What's
it to you?
What's it to me? They're in Colorado watching their team get beat by the Brewers anyway. What's it to me?
Could have been altitude sickness. Anything could have been.
He could have had him, what if he'd had a grabber or some legit medical emergency or something? That would have been worse. Here's me. What's wrong with the guy in the front row? Well, he's having trouble. You idiot. Why do I do that?
Imagine if all of a sudden next inning you see paramedics down there.
Yeah, right.
Then how'd you feel? Would you take it off? Would you take the picture off the website?
I think it's often, unless it's terribly offensive and it's doing more harm than good, I think it's kind of cowardly to delete tweets. Like, I let that stand there.
I
did post
that.
Something. I posted the Denver Post article and said, hey, my bad. Thank you to the folks who pointed this out.
So you took ownership?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So
good,
I think it's cowardly to just delete your tweet. Well, I never said that. Well, it's gone. So I let it sit there, and I took mine, as I should, because I deserve it.
Did you get blown up for it? Did people call you?
Not as badly as I could have been, or maybe even should have been. People were kind, and they're like, hey,
I did see it, but you came across as being concerned. That's what I got.
I wasn't concerned. I was being
Oh, come on. Don't do this. I'm trying to give you an out.
I know, but I'm not going to lie to the people, Deb. I was being a donkey. I was being very funny, which I am.
I know. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. So I got mine. So I guess, again, just a lesson that I need to remind myself. You don't know what you don't know, and why you got to pick on people one way or another. Just leave them be, right?
Vince, we've been wondering what movies, if any, would blast off in the box office. The summer was a little tepid to start. wasn't too hot as far as a movie making it big.
Yeah, the ones that were expected to be big, I don't know if they flopped, but they weren't.
Just didn't do much,
right? Where they were predicted.
Well, we found the formula, at least for this year.
Look up.
Everybody was looking up this holiday weekend at Despicable Me 4. It earned $75 million over the weekend, more than $122.5 million since its Wednesday opening. Those minions helped continue Hollywood's upward trend. Another factor? Talking about feelings.
We are suppressed emotion!
Inside Out 2, the year's biggest hit, is the first billion-dollar movie of the year.
Yeah, ABC's Brian Clark there. Inside Out 2, first billion-dollar flick of the year, and then Despicable Me 4. So two animated films for families, two franchises that are already known, and they are exploding right now.
Well, first of all, on Minions, like, funny voices and sure. People falling down is funny every time.
Always is. Closing my eyes, I'm watching the movie.
Hilarious, right? That's always funny.
You made a good point once before, and I think it really hits home. And whenever you have a family film that's different than, say, some epic, you know, action movie that maybe one or two people want to see, family film.
Who goes
film,
to see a rom com?
Yeah, two people.
Dates, couples, right?
When it's this, you're talking five, six, who knows, maybe a friend or two, eight people all going
load
to
the
theater.
Load up the minivan.
Yeah.
And so for every decision to go see a movie in the theater, it's not two, it's three, four, five, maybe more tickets at a crack.
Did not see that one coming with Inside Out 2. You know, you knew that movie would do well because it's Pixar and it's Amy Poehler and it was a good franchise, but wow, they are exploding.
I said one of my favorite quotes, and I'll paraphrase it here because I didn't memorize the quote, but it was from Walt Disney. Long time ago when Disney was, you know, starting to come out with these animated films and then the theme parks and all of this stuff. And somebody said, well, you do children's movies or you do children's content. And Disney said, no, I do family movies. I do family content. If I just did children's stuff, as he phrased it, I'd lose my shirt. But his point was, no, I don't do stuff for kids. I do stuff that everybody comes to.
Everybody sees
and
it.
And the numbers seem to be working out. When's the Moon one come out?
This weekend.
What is that? Fly Me to the Moon.
That's the satire,
as if we had faked the moon landing.
Yeah.
So what is it? Like a comedy?
Yes, it's
it looks
a satire.
Pretty funny.
So it's Scarlett Johansson and Tatum Channing. Basically, Channing's like a real astronaut or whatever, and they need to come up with a side plan in case they fail. So they start creating a fake moon landing.
That would get me to the theater just because I'm a space nerd, but I also like funny.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of both in there.
Okay, 8:44 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Hey, 8:48 in Wisconsin's Morning News. Got a lot of texts trying to excuse my idiot behavior on the internet.
I don't know. Can it be excused?
One person said, well, in fairness, you did ask for a welfare check. That's not why. A lot of folks said they were in the same boat, wondering what was going on in that front row as well.
Brewers, Rockies, like 5 days ago, guy's head was down.
Told a story about these fans. I didn't know they were vision impaired or blind. In fact, they're known to Colorado Rockies fans that they like to go to the ball games for all the reasons you would expect, and I think it's a wonderful thing. I thought it was just some guy not paying attention. I popped off on the internet and got put in my place.
As you
but
should
a lot
have.
Of people did text in and say, like, we were thinking the same. One guy said, I had to get my wife to come in and watch it. Like, what are we looking at here? But still no excuse for being a donkey. If you want to hear that whole thing, my full mea culpa, it is on our podcast page. You can text Vince to 855-616-1620, and that'll send you the link to everything we do on the show each and every day. One more thing I want to squeeze in here, and it's a couple of political stories, but they happen during the holiday week. When anything happens during the holiday week, I think it bears some review when we all start paying attention to the world again. And these were two high-profile things. First, the ruling on Act 10. Everybody remembers what Act 10 was. It was Governor Scott Walker's signature piece of legislation. What it caused was a drastic curtailing of the collective bargaining rights for most public employees in Wisconsin, including teachers. It was one of the first things Governor Walker did when he was elected back in 2011. And that kicked off the protests at the Capitol, the Democratic senators who left the state in an effort to block it from becoming law, yada, yada, yada. It became Act 10. It was the law. And it's been in effect. It's been challenged legally over the years and has withstood every challenge heretofore. But it is back again now that the state Supreme Court has flipped to a 4-3 liberal majority. Folks who have been against this thing from the get-go are trying to get it thrown out, and they think they have a good chance if they get it to the high court. Well, one step in that direction is the judge in Madison. It was filed, most recent lawsuit was filed in Dane County, has ruled that some aspects of Act 10 are unconstitutional. What remains uncertain this morning is specifically what that means right now. He's asked for additional filings from attorneys who are litigating the case to say, like, where are we at now? I mean, did we just immediately revert to previous rules? Or
that's
what?
A great question. Where does it actually go? Yes. And there may not even be an answer to that.
And because you need to know that for now, but now is merely the interim. Everyone right. expects this will be appealed and appealed, and it will get up to the state Supreme Court. What's interesting about that is, yes, 4-3 liberal majority, but Justice Janet Protasiewicz, who's most recently elected in 2023, she was the one who flipped the court with that decision. She has said that she would consider recusing herself from an Act 10 case if it were to come before the high court, because she has admitted to signing the Walker recall petition, which incidentally, this Dane County judge also apparently did and has not spoken to. Okay, why didn't you think you needed to recuse yourself in this case? Nonetheless, moving forward, Protasiewicz has said she's at least open to considering recusing herself because she signed the recall and she openly protested against Act 10 back in 2011. So whether she does or doesn't, that'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. See how much pressure she is under.
Right.
The folks who voted for her among specific reasons, including this one. Hey, we want to see stuff like this thrown out. So that is still out there. Its future remains uncertain. The other thing happened Friday, the Dropbox's decision.
Sounds right. Yeah.
That is the state Supreme Court itself actually ruling in this case 4-3 along liberal conservative lines for liberals in favor of allowing drop boxes for the foreseeable future in Wisconsin in terms of elections. So these are these, I guess some folks debate how secure, but secure drop boxes that are placed in locations other than the clerk's office.
Kind of like a mailbox.
Kind of like a mailbox to collect absentee ballots. And Republicans or conservatives have argued they're not legal in Wisconsin because there's nothing in state law that allows for them. There's nothing in the state law that says you can have these. Their argument has been, if it doesn't say you can have them, then you can't have them. And liberals challenged that and successfully at the state Supreme Court were able to get that court to say, here, I can read from you the decision from Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. She wrote for the majority. It does not force or require that municipal clerks use drop boxes. It merely acknowledges what state law has always meant, that clerks may lawfully utilize secure drop boxes in an exercise of their statutorily conferred discretion. In other words, she's saying clerks have the ability to do this at their discretion. So that's where it is. We'll have drop boxes back. City of Milwaukee is already preparing to dust theirs off and get those ready and use them as collection sites. What I don't like about it, one way or another, regardless of your politics, is I don't like boutique rules. I don't like clerks having wide discretion about whether it be hours for absentee, in-person absentee, or where you can put drop boxes or how many you can have. I would love the legislature, if they can find some level of agreement with the governor, just lay out the rules. How many drop boxes do you get? I mean, do you do it on a per capita basis? Where specifically can they be located? Like, I'd like everybody playing by the same rules. I'd love to see legislation on this. Heretofore, we haven't had it.
Yeah, I was going to say. I don't right. think
let's get everybody together and play nice. I'm optimistic.
Go ahead and do that.
8:54, Wisconsin's Morning News. WTMJ 5-day forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Chance of some hit or miss showers and storms today with a high of 82 degrees. Tonight's low down to 66, and then mostly cloudy on Tuesday with a high of 80 degrees. Got to run. WTMJ's Steve Scafidi is up next with the Political Power Hour. Eric and I are back tomorrow on Wisconsin's Morning News.